అయాజయద్గో సవేనా గోపరాజం ద్విజోత్తమే విత్తస్య చారుభారస్య చికిర్షన్ సద్వయం విభూ వర్షతింద్రే వ్రజకోపాద్ భగ్నమానే తివివలః గోత్రలీలాత్పత్రేణ త్రాతో భద్రానుగ్రణంత.
ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ డిజైర్ టు యూటిలైజ్ ది అపులెంట్ ఫైనాన్షియల్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజ్ నంద ఫర్ వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ ది కౌస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో హీ వాంటెడ్ టు గివ్ అ లెసన్ టు ఇంద్ర ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ హెవెన్. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go or the pasturing land and the cows with the help of the learned Brahmanas. O sober Vidura, King Indra, his honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Braj, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since he is the teacher of everyone, the Lord also taught his father Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was a well-to-do landholder and owner of many cows. And as was the custom, he used to perform yearly worship of Indra, the king of heaven, with great opulence. This worship of demigods by the general populace is also advised in the Vedic literature, just so people can accept the superior power of the Lord. The demigods are servants of the Lord, deputed to look after the management of various activities of universal affairs. Therefore, it is advised in the Vedic scriptures that one should perform yajñas to appease the demigods. But one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord has no need to appease the demigods. Worship of the demigods by common people is an arrangement for acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. But it is not necessary. Such appeasement is generally recommended for material gains only. As we have already discussed in the second canto of this literature, one who admits the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to worship these secondary demigods. Sometimes being worshipped and adored by the less intelligent living beings, the demigods become puffed up with power and forget the supremacy of the Lord. This happened when Lord Krishna was present in the universe. And thus the Lord wanted to give a lesson to the king of heaven, Indra. He therefore asked Maharaj Nanda to stop the sacrifice offered to Indra and to use the money properly by performing a ceremony, worshipping the Lord, worshipping the cows and the pasturing ground on the hill of Govardhan. By this act, Lord Krishna taught human society, as he has instructed in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts and by all the results that will bring about the desired success. The Vaishyas are specifically advised to give protection to the cows and their pasture ground or agricultural land instead of squandering their hard-earned money. That will satisfy the Lord. The perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, one's community or one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. Om Ajnana Kimirandare. Krishna. In Krishna's pastime, we discussed about the actual demons coming and disturbing the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and how Krishna protected them, and which anarthas these demons represent. And in Vrindavan Leela, even the demigods also caused disturbance. And one demigod was Lord Brahma also. He came with the intention of testing the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he applied his mystic potency to test the Supreme Lord. And he failed. And secondly, demigod Indra also came to challenge Krishna's supremacy, because he was thinking as supreme. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the worship of the minor demigods is the sign of worshipping with fruitive intention. And this is for the devotees only. Even the Vaishnavas sometime they fall in this trap of worshipping the minor demigods. In fact, Lord Yajneshwar is the object of all our worship when we perform our constitutional duties. Especially for the householders, there are many, many Vedic sacrifices mentioned. And the object of all the sacrifice is again the Supreme Lord Vishnu itself. And Lord Indra represents the living entities. And is a representation of Lord Vishnu in the form of living entity. So therefore, Lord Krishna to teach the Brijvasis, and also it is explained to crush the pride of Indra, he had become so arrogant because he was regularly receiving the worship. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that in the other yugas, Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga, there would be so many sacrifices. Constantly people would perform sacrifices. And therefore, the demigods would be absent in the heavenly planets. But since the descent of Lord Buddha, they are very satisfied because all the Vedic sacrifices have stopped and the demigods don't go out of their residential quarters. And because they are regularly receiving the sacrifice, especially Indra, in fact, the Indologists, when they studied the Vedas, their claim is that you don't find the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, so much in the Vedic scripture, but you find Agni, Indra, and in the later edition there is Lord Vishnu. So it is explained, after the incident of delivering the wives of the Brahmanas, Krishna gave his mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas, and at the same spot, because that is the place where many yajnas would be performed, one day Lord Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram, he saw that all the inhabitants of Braj, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were preparing for Indra Yajna. And then it is explained, Lord Krishna, he came to that place and he raised certain question to his parents, especially Nanda Maharaj. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna as Paramatma, he knew everything. But still he asked this question. And then it is explained that Lord was only inspiring for the inhabitants of Braj to perform this sacrifice so that he can perform the blissful pastime of lifting the Govardhan hill. And then also he wanted to crush the pride of Indra. So Lord Krishna raised few questions to his father when he saw the whole preparation. He said, "My dear father, what is this all arrangement is going on?" And this ritualistic sacrifice, for whose cause are you performing it? And by what means it is going to be executed? And the acharyas add, under which guru you are performing this sacrifice? And I see that everyone is running mechanically here and there. There is no devotion. And then it is explained that after raising this question, Krishna saw that the Nanda Maharaj and others were not very keen to answer the question of Lord Krishna. Therefore, again the Supreme Personality of Godhead raised more questions. He said, "My dear Lord, my dear Father, I am very eager to know what you are doing. And the saintly people do not keep any secret from anyone." And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Nanda Maharaj might say that I am an ordinary householder, I am not a saint. Then Krishna says, no, because I am part of your family and no secret should be kept. If you are a saintly person does not treat anyone friend or an enemy. He treats equal to everyone. And what to speak of me? I am not only an ordinary person, I am part of your family, more than your friend. And then it is explained that when Krishna was raising this question, some Brijbasis felt that he is a very small child and we are already busy preparing for this yajna, but he proved that he is not simply an ordinary child. He was asking very intelligent question. And Krishna told, my dear father, secrets can be kept only with your enemies, not with your confidential family members. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, neutral party is the friend of the enemy. Even the neutral party should be considered as enemy only. Sometimes it is seen that when you ask somebody, they don't give any answer. That means they are approving. Silence means approval. So therefore Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes Rupa Goswami from Ujjwala Neelamani. He said, neutrality means enemy. They are not friends. So you can keep the secret from them, but I am not like that. And then Krishna also raised, is this yajna mentioned in the scripture? Or is it a tradition which has been done by many, many people? Therefore you are also following the suit. What is it? Exactly, why are you performing this? And Srila Prabhupada explains, it was not that Nanda Maharaj was performing that yajna first time. Krishna had seen it many, many times. But still he was raising this question. Why was he raising this question? Because his whole intention was to stop that Indra yajna. Because Indra had become unnecessarily proud. And after this, Krishna speaks a strange philosophy which he himself does not accept. Krishna says, my dear Lord, my dear Father, if you do something out of ignorance, there is not much benefit. Anything you perform, there has to be a knowledge. Without knowledge, if you do something, there will be no proper results. The story is told that in South India, because that is the place where many rituals are being conducted, for every small act, they make big, big rituals. So one time there was a marriage ceremony, and in that marriage ceremony, the mother was, you know, very busy arranging many, many pujas and, you know, mantras and sacrifices. And because in their home, even though there was, you know, they were quite ritualistic brahmanas, but they were modern brahmanas, they had cats and dogs. So this cat in their family would come and disturb the whole ceremony. So then this lady, the mother, seeing that the cat is disturbing, she took a basket, wooden basket, and covered the cat with that wooden basket so that the cat would not disturb. So the ceremony was over, the marriage was over, the girl went back to her family, her husband's place. She grew up, she became mother, and she had a daughter, and she wanted to marry her daughter. Everything was, she was doing the same as her mother has taught. And she was scratching her head, I'm missing something. What is that? Then she realized that while the ceremony was going on, my mother had covered the cat with a basket. So she got a cat from outside, she got a basket from outside, she covered over the cat, and that became the regular tradition. Therefore, without knowledge, if you do something, or Krishna Kishore was saying that some guest came to his place, and they were also like people with religious background. And then, you know, they offered them something. They said, look, we are so strict, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, everything has to be in very pure ingredients. It has to be silver or gold. So even if we drink coffee, we drink in silver cup only. Like Krishna Chandra Prabhu regularly tells that he had one of his acquaintance. Even if he has to drink wine, he will put tulsi in that. So similarly, when without knowledge, if you do something, you don't know where you end up. I saw in Kollapur one time, you know, there was one tree, huge banyan tree, and somebody covered that banyan tree with sindoor. And within no time, the pujari came there on his own, because he could make some money. And regularly people, while going to the bus stop, they would come and worship there. So Krishna is saying, my dear father, it is simply an ordinary tradition. In fact, Rupa Goswami explains, there are different kinds of evidences. The most prominent evidence is the Shastras. Another evidence is the tradition. But the tradition evidence has to be confirmed by the Acharyas. So Krishna raised this question, okay, you are doing it, but what is the source? What is the authority for this yajna? And Prabhupada writes that yajna is there in the Vedic scripture. And we see the difference that when Lord Buddha came, he said, reject the Vedas. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, go beyond the Vedas. But what is the difference? When Lord Buddha said, go beyond the Vedas, everybody became atheistic. And when Krishna says, go beyond the Vedas, he gives something higher than the Vedas. Beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is the difference. So then Krishna starts speaking karma mimamsa philosophy or karma vada philosophy. Karma vada is a philosophy which talks about how karma is the real worshipable object. Krishna told his father, my dear father, what is the use of worshipping Indra? Because if you perform your activities, the result has to come. There is no other choice. So it doesn't matter if the demigod Indra, you know, if he offers or he does not offer. In fact, we see that Lord Krishna is telling his father that if you think that Indra is giving rains because you are performing yajnas and sacrifice, we see that the rocks and the oceans, even there the rains are falling. They are not doing any sacrifice. So therefore, to think that Indra is giving rains is completely bogus. Krishna was making Indra very angry. And then the Supreme Personality of God had explained that even if there is a super soul, even if he is directing, how will he direct? He will only direct according to your previous karma. Krishna speaking full-fledged atheistic philosophy, which is Prabhupada calls as atheistic Sankhya philosophy. Therefore we see the materialistic people, those who are progressive and little intelligent, when they hear people going to different demigods, different god to worship, putting so much of faith in God, which is called as Daivavad. When they see that they are putting too much of faith in God, Daivavad, seeing that they feel that this is a waste of time. And therefore their philosophy is that unless you work, you cannot attain any success. One time, one of the president of India, when he came to Ranganath temple, when he saw that huge temple, he said, what a waste. He said, it's a huge temple, but it's a waste. People are coming here to worship something, some idol, you know, putting faith in that, but better they make a factory here. Our temples are our industries. That is called Karmavad. In Karmavad, you do not accept the supremacy of God. Even if there is a God, he is a dependent factor. Only if you do something, then he will provide you. Otherwise, he has no control, and you can actually control him by your activities. And then Krishna explained, my dear father, actually everything happens because of three modes of material nature. If you see, this mode of passion causes the cloud, and because of the rains are coming, only because of the three modes of material nature. And Krishna speaks what he is rejecting in the 16th chapter of the demonic philosophy. Krishna says, it is just to make Indra angry. He said, my dear father, everything is created, everything comes about in this material world because there is interaction between man and woman. Just like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the demons, they accept that there is no controller over this creation. Everything is created because of sexual desires. So when Krishna presented all this philosophy, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, even though it is not there in the Bhagavad, that Nanda Maharaj easily defeated Krishna's philosophy. He said, no, Indra Yagya has to be performed. It is very important. If you don't perform Indra Yagya, he will become very angry. In fact, my dear son, you are also the prasad of these demigods. I have got such a qualified son like you, because I regularly worship the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just because clouds are the representative of Indra, Indra controls the cloud, and when the clouds send forth rains, we get grains. And because of grains, we get nourished. And because of nourishment, we can think about religiosity. And only on the level of religiosity, you can perform all these sacrifices. If there is no nourishment, then you cannot perform puja. You cannot worship God. So therefore, this is only because of Indra. Just like we are offering the remnants, what has been given by Indra, just like we offer Ganges water back to Ganga. So Nanda Maharaj was saying. But Krishna again, he smashed his father, again presenting Karmavad philosophy. Karmavad philosophy appears very, very brilliant. Because we see that unless somebody works, he cannot get any results. Even if you are a devotee, it is not that automatically everything comes. One has to work for it. Therefore, if somebody presents Karmavad philosophy, it appears to be really true. But the problem with Karmavad philosophy is that one feels that he is the doer. And in Daivavad philosophy, one becomes so lazy depending upon God to such an extent that I offer this much to God and in turn he will give me so much more. But the whole philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is the balance of Karmavad and Daivavad. Krishna does not teach Arjuna to become dependent without working, and he does not teach Arjuna to work without depending on God. When somebody only depends upon God and does not perform his duties, again Krishna speaks about that. One who does not perform his duties, he says, I depend upon God, that is very superficial. And then one who only works and does not depend upon God, he becomes either arrogant or frustrated. That is unavoidable. So therefore Krishna told, my dear father, everybody according to the three modes of material nature is born in different varna. For Brahmana, real worship is to perform yajna. That is their worship. And what is the duty of a Kshatriya? His duty is to administrate. That is his worship. And for the Vaishyas, to perform their duties. And for the Shudras, to become a servant of these higher Varanas. And Lord Krishna said, my dear father, that is their worship. Performing their duties according to Varana is their seva, that is their puja. Work is worship. In all different languages we see that everybody say karma hi puja hai. Worshipping our karma itself is worship of God. You don't have to worship any independent God. And then Krishna says, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, this is karma mimamsa philosophy. They make God a dependent factor and they have belief in reincarnation. So Krishna presented this philosophy and he said, therefore, my dear father, there is no need to worship Indra. And it is true in one sense, because the demigods can only give you the results only if you worship them. They are like salesmen in a big shop. If you go to the shop, a salesman has no right to increase or reduce the price. The owner of the shop might tell him, okay, you can tell this much of price, but you can only bring up to this much. But that doesn't mean that the salesman is independently doing it. And only if the customer gives him the money, he will give the goods. If somebody comes to him saying that I want free, he has no right to give. Only that owner can do it. So all the demigods are actually dependent factor. They cannot independently offer anything to anyone. They are like shopkeepers or the salesman. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not like that. So after preaching this philosophy to his parents, Krishna told, my dear father, therefore, we are moving from one place to another place. We are depending upon the hills. We are depending upon the pasturing ground. And because we are Vaishyas, and what is the puja of a Vaishya? Vaishya takes care of the cows. He tills the land. He does mercantile business. And he does banking. And especially we Brijbasis, because we handle the cows, therefore it is very important that our cows require grass. And Govardhan is providing unlimited grass. Let us therefore worship the Brahmanas, the cows and Govardhan hill. Whatever arrangements you have made, all that ingredients can be utilized in the service of the puja of Govardhan hill, cows and the Brahmanas. Nanda Maharaj said, no. Let us continue this puja. After this puja, I can arrange another puja for your satisfaction. Krishna said, no. Immediately I want that the Govardhan puja should be performed. When Krishna speaks, Nanda Maharaj had to accept. And Kavi Karanapur explains, when Krishna told, he told, my dear father, in this puja the festival should be performed in such a way that huge stack of food should be prepared. And then you should feed the Brahmanas. And you should feed the Brahmanas in such a way that they should eat and become so happy they should laugh. And then not only Brahmanas, the ordinary people also should be fed. And you should feed the cow eater, you should feed the dog eaters. You should feed the dog. Everyone should be fed very nicely. After feeding everyone, my dear Lord, my dear Father, then we will worship the Govardhan hill. By arranging the sacrifice, the Brahmanas will chant the mantras. And then we will go around the Govardhan Hill doing the parikrama. And everybody should be dressed very nicely. And Srila Prabhupada explains, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna speaking all this just so that he wanted to crush Indra's pride, which was like a mountain, and turn into like a pebble. Because Indra had become very proud of his, you know, position of being a demigod. And when Krishna gave the order to the Brijvasis changed their decision and they immediately started Indra Yajna, worship of Govardhan Hill. They prepared unlimited food, they stacked huge mountains of rice, dal, milk sweets, they made different kinds of cakes and they started worshipping the Govardhan Hill. And Krishna himself expanded as Govardhan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that this form of the Lord, when Krishna expanded standing on the mountain, he had many hands. Some hands were very long, some hands were very short. He had long hands so that he can reach the foods which were kept away from him. And he had short hands so that he can reach which were very close to him. And at the same time Krishna was standing along with the Brijvasis. And he was worshipping. Just see, the Govardhan Hill has assumed the form. He is not ordinary. So Krishna was offering worship. He was folding his hands, standing along with the Brijvasis to his own form. In this way the Supreme Personality of God had worshipped the Govardhan Hill and all the Brahmanas were fed, everyone was fed. And it is explained that next morning all the Brijvasis started performing Govardhan Parikrama, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. And after the, during the Govardhan Parikrama, when they reached Jamuna River, in those times Jamuna used to flow across, close to Govardhan Hill. And therein Krishna came along with his covered friends in the house of Upananda. In the house of Upananda, he met his cousin sister Sunanda. And that was Bhatri Dvitiya. Bhatri Dvitiya means, during the Deepavali festival, it is seen that all these sisters, they worship their brothers, so that the brothers can reach proper prosperity. And they feed nice prasad to their brothers. So Krishna, along with all the covered friends, he came to the house of Upananda, and Sunanda, she worshipped Krishna very nicely. She gave a lot of gifts to the Lord. Krishna gave gifts to her. And there was huge feast. And when all the covered boys were enjoying the feast, Madhu Mangal, he said, "My dear Krishna, what is this? Why this festival has to come once in a year? Why not every day? Why year has been calculated by so many days? This is not good. And you have got only one sister. You should have had many sisters. And compared to the feast of yesterday's Govardhan Hill Puja, they said, this is better. I am enjoying this feast so much. It is so nice." He said, "This Bhatri Dvitiya should come every day." In this way, Batu, Madhu Mangal, was joking with Krishna and other covered friends. They had nice feast. They enjoyed the feast. Krishna blessed his sister and they continued the parikrama. And it is explained, when they were performing the parikrama, all the Brijvasis, in the front, all the cows were there decorated very nicely. Behind the cows, the cowherd boys, they were doing this, you know, moving around the sticks, the playing of the sticks, very artistically. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Nityananda Prabhu, he imitated the pastime. Not imitated, he acted the pastime of throwing the sticks in the sky and catching it at the right time. So all the covered boys, while going around the Govardhan Parikrama, they were not only singing, they were performing so many pastimes. And there were different singers there singing different bhajans. And there were music players there playing different kinds of bands. And the brahmanas were chanting different kinds of mantras. And the Brahmana and the Brajavasis, the ladies, they were sitting on the cart and they were singing very beautifully, and all the mantras and their song were merged and it was becoming a very beautiful, beautiful to hear. In this way they performed the Govardhan Hill Parikrama in great bliss. After the Govardhan Hill Parikrama was done, it is explained that Krishna, along with his friends and family members, they went back to their residence. And Krishna explains in this Bhagavatam that anyone who neglects the worship of Govardhan Hill, he will be beaten by the snakes who reside in and around Govardhan Hill. Therefore, it is very important that everybody should worship Govardhan Hill. And Srila Sridhar Swami, in the conclusion of this chapter, he speaks that Krishna spoke six theories while convincing his parents about not to worship Indra. And first is, karma is sufficient to determine one's destiny. Beyond karma there is nothing. That means, sometimes we see that even devotees fall into this trap. What is this trap? The trap of thinking that one has to go to astrologer and see what is my karma. Because karma is a very powerful thing and we cannot overcome karma. So Krishna is preaching that karma is sufficient to determine one's destiny. Without that you cannot progress. And then next Krishna said, one's swabhava. One's nature is supreme. One cannot overcome one's swabhava. So according to one's swabhava, one has to act. That was the second principle Krishna spoke. And third, Krishna said, the modes are supreme controller. When the three modes of material nature act, you cannot do anything. You have to helplessly work. And Krishna said the fourth thing, that God is a dependent factor on karma. If your karma is supposed to act, then even God cannot do anything. In fact, there was one scholar, he was presenting Jassi that even Lord Ramachandra has to suffer his karma. Because karma is so powerful, and this is Karma Mimamsa philosophy. In Karma Mimamsa philosophy, the karma kandis, they worship, they perform all yajnas, they feel that by performing yajna, acting according to our karma, we can attain anything and everything. And in that sense, there is no need to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, not only Supreme is dependent on karma, fifth principle is that He is under control of the karma. He is not beyond karma. In fact, He is under the control of karma. And the last theory Krishna spoke was, our occupation is worshipable deity. There is no other deity other than our own occupation. It's a very risky and dangerous philosophy, which Krishna himself did not accept. But it is explained by Jiva Goswami, that when Krishna saw his own eternal associates, Brajavasis, worship minor demigods, out of great anger, out of transcendental anger, Krishna spoke this philosophy. Therefore it is seen that when a devotee engages, one has to know this clearly, that worshipping the demigod and respecting the demigods are two different things. So Krishna became angry because all the Brajavasis were engaged other than worshipping Krishna, the minor demigod, and specially who was proud, Indra. Therefore Krishna, out of anger, he preached this philosophy which he himself did not believe, which was against the Vedas. Therefore Prabhupada explains, it is not that even if your authority, even if God speaks the philosophy against the Vedas, it has to be rejected. And the example is Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha is a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Lord. So when Lord Buddha spoke the atheistic philosophy, it is not that because God is speaking, therefore we have to accept. Sometimes it is seen that the blind followers, if their guru speaks some, of course, the blind followers will have false gurus only. So, if their guru preaches the philosophy which is against the Vedas, they don't challenge or question it. The whole process of devotional service involves, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that as we progress in devotional service, there will be much subtler doubts. And when we go and approach the spiritual master, he is expert in clarifying those doubts because of his higher knowledge. And how does he do it? He does it by quoting the scriptures. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna regularly quotes scriptures. Rishivir Bahudha Gitam. He said, my dear Arjuna, many sages have spoken this. He does not simply say that I am the authority. He also quotes the Vedic scriptures. So therefore, even though this has been spoken by Krishna out of joke, out of anger, he himself does not believe in this whole theory of karma is supreme, our swabhava is supreme, God is dependent on the karma, or karma is controlling the supreme personality of Godhead. All these philosophies are not accepted in the Vedic system. And then Shukdev Goswami explains, when all these events were over, the festival was over, it is explained that Indra developed severe headache. It is seen that when somebody neglects you purposefully, you develop a headache. You become full of anxiety. And Indra was in full of anxiety. He was distressed. He was very sad that all these Brajvasis, out of their, you know, ignorance, they have given up worshipping me. So therefore he decided to retaliate. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Indra became so unreasonable. Out of false pride, a person loses his intelligence. And once somebody loses his intelligence, what course of action he takes, it can be very risky and very dangerous. So Indra called upon his main men, the clouds, Samvartaka cloud. And Srila Prabhupada explained this, the Samvartaka clouds are not ordinary clouds. Not these clouds what we see here on the mountain tops. Even these clouds are very powerful. But the Samvartaka cloud, they are meant for universal annihilation. When Lord Sankarsan burns from the lower planetary system, simultaneously there is rains. And that is caught by the Samvartaka cloud. And he called the demigods. He called Vayu, he called other demigods. He said, you go on the land of Vrindavan. And what is land of Vrindavan? It is so small, but still he was employing the Samvartaka cloud and different kinds of winds to destroy Vrindavan. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are seven winds which cause destruction, called Avaha and Pravaha. And in the Mahabharata, these different winds, their characteristics are given. This Pravaha, it moves the clouds. By the force of the wind of Pravaha, all the clouds start moving in one direction. And then Avaha wind causes thunder. And Udvaha wind, it converts sea water into vapor within no time and then converts into cloud. And Samvaha, that moves the clouds into the sky. And Vivaha gives shape to the cloud. They can appear very fierce. That is the work of this Vivaha cloud. And there is a Parivaha cloud. It keeps Akashganga motionless. The flowing river becomes like a rock. It does not move. And the last one, Paravaha, makes the soul travel. Even the soul travels by the power of these winds. So Indra, he employed all these winds, all different demigods. headed by Samvartaka cloud. And he told them, you go ahead, I will come on my Airavat. He explains that Indra had a chariot in the form of Airavat, but actually he was riding on the chariot of anger. And because he was riding on the chariot of anger, Indra completely lost his control. He said, you follow, I'll come behind you to see the destruction of the whole Vrindavan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually Indra wanted to see the pasturing ground of Nanda Maharaj. He wanted to see the cows. He actually wanted to see how Krishna is going to react for it. And then Indra explained that these Brajvasis are so foolish. What they have done? They have accepted this insignificant Krishna as their protector. What is he? Who is he? Vachalam Balisham Stabdam Agyam Pandita Maninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrur Apriyam. This is how Indra starts offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said Vachalam, that this Krishna is Vachalam, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Vachalam is talkative and is talking so much, he is making so many arguments which he himself does not believe. When you become too talkative, you speak something which is not according to the scripture, which you yourself do not accept. So Krishna was acting as Vachalam and he was speaking atheistic Sankhya philosophy and Karma Mimamsa, which he did not accept himself. Therefore he called him Vachalam. And then he said Stabdam. Why Stabdam? Because even though he's very young, very small child, but he's speaking in front of his father and elderly people. Therefore he's very arrogant. And then he said Agyam. Agyam means, even as an ordinary Vaishya, coward boy, one who goes to the pasturing ground, he is talking as if he is a great Brahman. And then he said, Pandita Manina. Even as an ordinary, he thinks that he is very learned. And then Martyam. Martyam means Krishna is a human being and I am a demigod. But still, he is offending me. And then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Mother Saraswati converted the words of Indra into praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says Balisha means free from deception. That is the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so innocent, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole land of Vrindavan is filled of innocency. Innocency of the Supreme Lord and the innocency of the Brajvasis. And he said Stabdam. Stabdam means that there is no one to whom he can offer obeisances. If there is somebody greater, then you can offer obeisances to them. If somebody is not greater and if you offer obeisances to them, then they will fall down. Just like Abhiram Gopal Thakur was there. He could offer obeisance to someone, and if that person is not a pure devotee of the Lord, if the deities were not authentic, simply by offering obeisances, they would bust into 100 pieces. So now you can imagine, Krishna, if he had to offer obeisances, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is there who can accept his worship? So therefore it is explained that he is Stabdam. And then Saraswati explained Agyam. Agyam means that there is nothing more to be learned. He knows everything about everything. And Pandita Manina. Pandita Manina means even the Panditas, they accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says Martyam. Martyam means even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is acting as human being. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, even though Krishna is called as Balish, anyone who comes in contact with Krishna, even though he is very small, Balish, he learns the art of speaking. Balish becomes Vachalam. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that even a deaf person or a small child, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes a eloquent speaker. So Krishna has been called as Balish. He is called as Vachalam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained. That means that even if somebody is very insignificant and small, by the mercy of the Lord, he can speak eloquently. And then Indra continued to offend the Brajvasis. He said, just because these Brajvasis have got prosperity, they are mad with pride. It is explained that whenever you see somebody doing something, it is a reflection of your own qualities. Atmavan manyate jagat. Even though you are proud, you are thinking that the Brajvasis are very proud. So Indra was simply seeing his own character in the people of Vrindavan. They were simply, what they were doing? They were simply taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then all the clouds, they started pouring rains over Vrindavan. And it was so huge. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Kavi Karanapur explains, they were as big as the banyan tree, as huge as the trunks of the elephants. They were as big as the column of the big buildings. And the rain started falling over Vrindavan. It is explained that all the bulls and the cows, they became so scared. The upper part of the cows became swelled up. And the bulls are naturally very strong. When the raindrops were falling on their back, you know, it would fall and the drop would become scattered into 100 pieces. And the bulls became so angry, they wanted to crush those who were causing that. They were looking up in the sky. And then all the bulls and the cows, when they were so distressed, and then all the Brajvasis realizing that this has been caused by Indra, as natural for them, they came to Krishna. And they said, my dear Lord, just see, Krishna Krishna Mahabahu, Swannatam Gokulam Prabhu. He said, my dear Lord, that we have been suffering by the rains of this Indra who has become very angry with us. Please protect us. And seeing the distress of Brajvasis, Krishna decided. He already knew that Indra is going to do this. And Krishna decided to teach lesson to Indra. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains, when Krishna realized that Indra is causing this, first he decided, what should I do now? Either destroy the entire heavenly planets and then protect all the Brajvasis. What should I do? Then he became little merciful over Indra. He said, no, I will simply protect the Brajvasis. I will not crush his heavenly planet. I will not destroy his heavenly planet. And without any endeavor, just like if somebody exhibits his great power, and he become completely neglectful of his power, you do not even acknowledge his power, that's a great insult. When Krishna is fighting with Kali, it is explained, at least Krishna tied his cloth over his waist, he tied his cloth over his hair, he slapped his arm. That means at least he was acknowledging the power of Kaliya. But here with Indra, he did not do anything. Without acknowledgement of Indra's power, just to insult Indra so much more, what Krishna did was, without putting any of his power, he just raised Govardhan Parvat from the left hand and the smallest finger. Even though Bhagavad does not mention it, Harivamsa mentions that Krishna lifted Govardhanil from the finger of his left hand. That means making Indra feel so insignificant. And how did he lift? When Krishna lifted the Govardhan mountain, Prabhupada explained that he had not practiced the art of weight lifting. No? He easily lifted it. It was not that when he was lifting the Govardhan hill, he was like Atlas, who is training. All the muscles are bulging out, you know, you can see sweat on his face. Very pleasingly, as if somebody picks up the ball. One who is playing a cricket, he can easily pick up a ball. So similarly, Krishna picked up the Govardhan hill as if somebody picks up the ball. Or somebody picks up the mushroom. Or just like an elephant with his trunk picks up the lotus flower. All these similes are given. Very easily Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. After lifting the Govardhan Hill, it is explained, Krishna assured all the Brajvasis, now you all come underneath Govardhan Hill. And the Brajvasis said, my dear Lord, how can we come? This Govardhan Hill is only 3 kilometers in diameter. How can all the Brajvasis come here? Krishna said, don't worry. This Govardhan Hill is so great, even during the universal annihilation, all the inhabitants can come underneath this. And just because Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, it is explained that Govardhan Hill expanded to 32 miles in diameter. It became so expansive. Everybody started coming under that Govardhan Hill. And Krishna is giving them assurance, don't worry, it will not fall from my hand. I will take care of that. All the Brajvasis, in fact, one Acharya explains that rather than living in Vrindavan, they all came underneath that Govardhan Hill and all the normal activities were going on as usual. No difference. This one explanation is given. And Garga Samhita explains when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, Sudarshan, to assist the Supreme Lord, he started blazing. And the power was so great that as in the rain would fall because of the heat, in the sky only all the rain would be dried up. And how did they cover the boundary wall? Kavikarnapur explains when Lord Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, many rocks fell from the Govardhan Hill and they created a natural boundary wall so that water could not come inside. And Garga Samhita explained, Lord Ananta Shesh also wanted to assist. So he came down, he created a boundary wall so that the water should not come. And then again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when Krishna ran from his house to Govardhan Hill, how is that he did not become wet? He had his Samharika Shakti. Through that, you know, this is a part of Yoga Maya potency, she stopped all the rains for that time. And therefore, not even one drop fell on the turban of Krishna. So everybody could come inside without any disturbance. And it is explained when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, Kavi Karanapur explains, it was as if many, many coward boys, all the rowdy children in the cave of the hills, it was like giving a bad words. It made a huge sound. And when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, it is explained, the sound actually challenged Brahma's tapasya. And in the Patala Loka, it disturbed the festival of the Patala Loka Vasis, the festival of drinking wine. They stopped that festival. And when Krishna raised the mountain, Govardhan Hill, it is explained that it went so high, it went beyond the clouds. Therefore, all the animals like stag, deers, lions, they were all naturally roaming here and there. They were not disturbed by the rains. And when the lions were in the clouds, they considered clouds to be elephant. And with their claws, they started ripping the clouds into many pieces. And seeing that, all the clouds started running away from there. And then it is explained that the trees on the mountain top of the Govardhan Hill, they were challenging the parishes of trees in the heavenly planets. They were actually disturbing, they were actually challenging the trees of the heavenly planets. In this way, when the mountain was high in the sky, even the Himalayan mountains became disturbed. What is this? This mountain is going beyond us. Even the Loka mountains, they said, oh, somebody is challenging us. And then it is explained, Indra started striking at the Govardhan Hill. But because Govardhan Hill was touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when Indra was striking at the Govardhan Hill, it was as if somebody was showering flowers on the hill. So he was not disturbed. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, it is explained, while lifting the Govardhan Hill, Krishna performed many, many pastimes while lifting the Govardhan Hill. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, when all the Brajvasis saw that Krishna is lifting the Govardhan hill, all the elderly gopis, they asked Yashoda, how is that? Your son is so small, he can lift the Govardhan hill. Yashoda said, no, he is not lifting. Because our Nanda Maharaj worships Lord Vishnu, he is the devotee of Lord Narayan, and he is receiving the power of Lord Narayan. Therefore, actually, Nanda Maharaj is lifting Govardhan hill. It is not that Krishna is lifting. How can small child lift the Govardhan hill? Now, Yashoda said like this, and even after the event of Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill, it is explained, Kamsa also said the same thing. Then Akrur coming to Vrindavan, he told Akrur, you go to Vrindavan and bring these two children. And Akrur said, my dear Kamsa, they are not ordinary, they are the Supreme Lord. How can you fight them? And Kamsa said, what are you talking? You call them Supreme God? Just because they lifted some pebble called Govardhan, you know, he tamed water snake which is called as Kaliya. You know, how can you say like this? So Kamsa was also saying, and the Brajvasis were also saying. But the difference was, one was saying out of love, covered by the yoga maya potency, another was covered by the envy or the power of Mahamaya. And then again, Yashoda Mata seeing Krishna lift Govardhan hill, different kinds of moods were there. She was telling, my dear Krishna, you are carrying this Govardhan hill. It is so heavy. Why do you act like this impudently? Because of your impudency, Indra has caused this. And therefore you have to take such a trouble. And Madhu Mangal said, my dear Mother Yashoda, don't worry, Krishna is not lifting Govardhan hill. It is my mantra shakti, because I am such a great Brahman, because of my mantra, Govardhan is actually floating. It has not been carried by Krishna. Then Yashoda said, you Brahman, how do you speak so much? He said, if it is actually floating, let it fly everywhere around the sky. Then I consider that your mantra is working. And then again, Bhattu said, Madhu Mangal said, my dear Krishna, you do not worry that my this golden stick is so strong. You just keep that Govardhan on my golden stick. And then Yashoda Mata, she wanted to feed Krishna something. And then she told Subal that, my dear Subal, just see your friend is starving for so many days. At least let him eat something. Let him eat tambula. By eating tambula, you know, he'll get energized. He'll increase his appetite and he'll get some strength. And Yashoda was addressing Krishna that, my dear Krishna, you are starving, therefore your Balram is also starving. Your covered friends are also starving. Eat something. And she gave betel nut to Subal. And Subal took that betel nut and went and offered it to Krishna. He took out his flute. It is explained that while lifting the Govardhan hill, not only Krishna was lifting Govardhan hill, he started playing upon his flute. And when Madhu Mangal saw that Krishna is playing upon his flute, he said, stop it, don't play flute, because your flute is very, very powerful. He said, your flute can make stones into water and water into rock. If by chance, when you play the flute and the Govardhan start melting, what will happen? The cause of our protection will become our destruction. So therefore, don't play your flute. In this way, so many pastimes were taking place underneath the Govardhan hill. Yashoda tried to feed some butter to Krishna. And the coward boys, Garga Samhita explains, you know, they are putting their sticks over the hill, thinking that they are supporting the hill. And then Rupa Goswami explains, when Krishna was lifting the Govardhan hill, all the rasas were being enacted very nicely. Krishna was reciprocating with the Shantaras devotees. He was reciprocating with Dasya Ras devotees. He was reciprocating with Sakya Ras devotees. He was also reciprocating with the Vatsala Ras devotees. While the coward boys were enjoying Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill, the devotees in Vatsala Ras, they were not very happy. Why? Because they could not stand Krishna lifting over the hill. Therefore, Yashoda, time to time, she wanted to massage Krishna's hand. She wanted to feed him something. She was addressing Krishna, now you eat this, now you eat that. And eventually, after lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights, without any disturbance, Indra realized that I have done a great mistake. What is my mistake? That I am playing with the fire. In fact, he is not ordinary, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he told all of his clouds that now you desist, you go back. He called the wind god also, you go back. And when the sky became very clear, it is explained by another Acharya that Krishna sent one of his coward boy. He said, you go out and see. And this coward boy came out and he saw that the whole sky was very clear except there was one small black cloud. And there was no more rain, but in one part, you know, it was like teardrops falling. And this boy came back to Krishna and said, my dear Lord, everything is clear, but there is a little black mark, which is like a very, very black cloud. And what is that? That is the face of Indra. Because it's been crushed by Krishna, his face has become so black that he is not able to tolerate his insult. And then even though the rain has gone, because Indra has become so fearful now, the tears are falling from his eyes. So only these two things are there. There is one black cloud and little drops of water. In this way, for 7 days and seven nights after lifting the Govardhan Hill, Krishna told all of his Brajavasis, now you get out of this mountain. I am going to keep it down. But some Brajavasis felt that, no, how can Krishna alone keep it? They told Krishna, my dear Krishna, you go out, then we will keep it down. And it is explained by Garga Samhita, Krishna brought the hill little down. And because all the coward boys and coward men were putting their stick, when Krishna brought the hill little down, because of the pressure, all of them fell down. And Krishna rose them up and he said, now you go out. It is explained, all the coward boys, they ran out of the Govardhan Hill as if the volley of the arrows. And again they came back inside, running. And then Krishna, by the merciful glance, he again made them go out of the Govardhan Hill. First all the coward boys ran away, all the women came out with their carts and bullocks, and the men came out, and all the cows started coming out, as if it was the hoods of the snake of Anantashesh. After everybody came out, it is explained, Krishna with great ease, he threw the mountain down at the right place. In this way, it is explained that Krishna very blissfully performed this pastime for 7 days. And Rupa Goswami explains the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How Krishna is so independent. When Lord Brahma stole all the cows and cowherd boys, that was not a big offense. He did not harm them. He just only wanted to test the Krishna's supremacy. He did not cause any disturbance. But with Indra, Indra's intention was worse than the demons. When the demons came, they came with the intention of only killing Krishna. But Indra's intention was not only to kill Krishna, but he wanted to destroy all the Brajavasis. He wanted to destroy the whole land of Vrindavan. It was much greater offense than any other demon could perform. But how did Krishna react? Brahmaji also came and offered prayers to Lord Krishna, and Indra also came and offered prayers to Lord Krishna. But when Brahmaji was offering prayers to Lord Krishna, Krishna heard the prayers as if he was not hearing. He did not respond. He did not even speak to Lord Brahma. And Brahma offered his prayers and left that place. But when Indra offered prayers, Krishna responded in, saying that don't become proud, because he knew that he is going to become proud again. So Krishna spoke to Indra, but he did not speak to Brahmaji. So Rupa Goswami explained, this is how Krishna acts independently. And some other acharyas explain, why did Krishna not respond to the prayers of Brahma? And why did he respond to the prayers of Indra? The reason is that Lord Brahma, he separated all the coward boys from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Indra, without intention, some or other, he made all the coward boys, gopis, elderly gopas, elderly gopis, all the animals, come under one umbrella for 7 days and 7 nights. He united all the Vrijvasis intensely. And in that way, he gave pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though intention was not positive, but Krishna took it positively, therefore, Krishna responded to the prayers of Indra. So in this way, Krishna enacted this pastime to teach his Vrijvasi friends, his family members, that there is no need to worship the demigods. When one becomes an exclusive devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his confidence in the Supreme Lord increases. With the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna also taught the art of becoming dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, some acharyas explain that why Krishna allowed his Vrijvasis to go through so much of difficulties. What was the reason? It was an intense pain on the part of the Vrijvasis. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example, when you become very hungry, intensely hungry, then the food becomes very tasty. So similarly, Krishna allowed them to suffer so that he can see the intense love of his devotees. He could see the intense surrender of his devotees. Therefore, he allowed the Vrijvasis to apparently suffer the anger of demigod Indra. But seeing their love, then Krishna gave them the protection. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, even after being neglected, when you neglect the worship of the demigods, it may happen that the demigods become angry, but do not worry. What can they do? What harm possibly they can cause to the devotees? Because even if they bring, the Lord is there to protect. Therefore, there is no need for a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to worship any minor gods. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, this is one of the obstacle for a Vaishnava. That sometimes Vaishnava may apparently engage in the worship of the minor demigods. When Srila Prabhupada was in Tirupati, which is the land of Sripad Ramanujacharya, he was so strong acharya that in his parampara, it was very clear that the demigod worship was never allowed. It was never allowed. But when Prabhupada came to Tirupati, he was shocked to see that some brahmanas were engaged in panchopasana. What is panchopasana? Panchopasana involves? Panchopasana involves that worship of Shakti, that the energy of the Lord, and then the worship of the Saurya, sun god. He is also energy, but it is much subtler energy. Only Surya gives energy to other elements. And they were engaged in the worship of Ganesh, the impersonal Ganesh. They were engaged in the worship of Shiva, that is the fourth. And then they were engaged in the worship of impersonal Vishnu. So this is a great obstacle. Even if you go to another place, you know, these are Vaishnava Brahmanas, that unfortunately seen that they are engaged in worship of many demigods. In fact, their acharyas, they were so intelligent in south, they saw that many people were worshipping the demigods. So one of the acharyas of this sampradaya, he approached the king. He said, my dear king, and he converted that king into Vaishnavism. He said, look, you have got many temples all over your kingdom, but the worship is not properly done. So why not appoint proper brahmanas? So this great acharya, he appointed many Vaishnava brahmanas and he gave every one of them a shaligram shila. And he told them, we cannot stop worshipping the demigods. It is not possible. We can't close down the temple, but we can trick them. What you can do? You take this shaligram shila and go to these different temples and worship shaligram shila and give the remnants of shaligram to these demigods. So in this way, what will happen? The worship of demigod will become that they are only receiving the remnants of the Lord. So anybody comes there, what they are doing, they are actually receiving the prasadi of the Supreme Lord. So that's how the Vaishnavas were tricking the demigod worshippers. But unfortunately, because of lack of confidence, the same Vaishnava group, what they did, along with the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the fruitive intention, they started worshipping minor demigods. We have in Bombay, there is a huge festival conducted by one specific community. And they spend crores of rupees, if not crores, few lakhs. And they also actually belong to Vaishnava community. But the regular people do not know, the people from that community, they do not know that actually we are not the worshipper of Ganesh, but actually the worshipper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But not everybody knows because they are not being priest. One of our devotees used to be part of that group organizing that festival. He said that if you go inside, the acharyas, how they offer Ganesh prasad, there is a shaligram shila. That shaligram is given all kinds of bhoga, he is worshipped nightly, and only the prasad of shaligram is offered to Ganesh. But normal people think that actually we are worshipping Ganesh, and we are eating Ganesh Prasad. And if you talk to them, they'll say, what is the difference between Ganesh and Lord Narayan? There is no difference. Because of lack of confidence. And why lack of confidence? Because the proper knowledge is not given. And therefore, considering demigods and Supreme Personality of God at one and the same, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is the greatest offense. To make Supreme Lord equal to the demigods is the greatest offense. Forget that. At least they are worshipping demigods, even though it is not right. There are some Vaishnavas, they come to worship, they go across Nasik. Nasik is the holy place of Lord Ram. They don't stop there, they go beyond there, which is, there is one place 90 kilometers away from Nasik. They go and worship there, even though he is not even a god. Vaishnavas, those who are the worshipper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, this is one of the greatest obstacles, that demigod worship. And Prabhupada writes, demigod doesn't mean that only the demigods which we talk about the scriptures. Demigod also means any powerful person. Kanshatam karmanam, what is that? Kanshatam karmanam siddhi ijante iha devata. Iha means, Prabhupada writes, iha means very, very powerful personalities also. And with what intention? With the intention of that, okay, I worship Krishna. Krishna has to be worshipped because, you know, he is Supreme God. One of our congregation's children, you know, they were telling their father, they were worshipping Lord Shiva. This is a recent story. And they were telling their father, you know, worshipping Krishna means what? If you worship Krishna, what will happen? Even if you approach him for material desires, he purifies you. He does not allow you to fulfill your material desires. So better I will worship Lord Shiva. Now they are very intelligent, they know. Now because they are, you know, they have heard Krishna conscious philosophy, young children, They said, we will not worship Krishna, we will worship Lord Shiva. So they brought some shivaling to worship Lord Shiva. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that is the big obstacle. Why people worship the demigods? Because they want some material benefits to be fulfilled. And one person in Calcutta, during the Second World War, Pious Marwadi, a grain merchant. You can imagine, his worship was when he saw that Hitler has declared Second World War and he had got large stock of grains. And he actually in his godown, he put a picture of Hitler and he was offering incense and lamp. This is a true story, Prabhupada writes. Therefore, one can be diverted from the exclusive worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship the demigods. So therefore, in the second canto, it is explained, akama sarva kama moksha kama udaridhi tivrena bhakti yogena ye ijit purusha param. That it is explained, if you have material desires, no material desire, don't go anywhere else, worship Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur there, Dhruva Maharaj became purified after worshipping the Supreme Lord. He said, my dear Lord, I came here looking for broken piece of glasses, but now I've received a rare jewel. He said, I'm so foolish that I came asking for material benefits. I don't want it. But still Krishna gave him material opulence. Why did Krishna give? Not for the sake of Dhruva Maharaj, because Dhruva Maharaj did not want. Dhruva Maharaj is already repentant. Prabhupada writes, because Krishna gave material benefits, thinking that if I simply purify Dhruva Maharaj, if I don't give the material benefits, others will not come to worship me. They will go to the demigods and get more contaminated. They will say that, you know, if I worship Krishna, what will happen? All my material desires will be destroyed. I will have no more material desires. I remember one person, he attended Bhagavad Gita course. It was during 90s. When he heard that Krishna destroys your material desire, he stopped coming to the temple. That I don't want this to happen to me because I've got many material desires to fulfill. Therefore, in the second canto of Bhagavad, Sukadeva Goswami explains, if you want this, if you want a good wife, worship Lord Shiva. If you want a good husband, worship Lord Uma, worship Uma. If you want good sense gratification, worship Indra, because he himself also does sense gratification. If you want good strength, you worship Mother Earth. In this way, so many demigods are given for different desires. But Sukadeva Goswami says, but if you want pure devotional service, then you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the demigod trap is so great, as Dayal Chandrapur was asking that question. One can miss you saying that, you know, we are only respecting and start actually worshipping the demigods. Therefore, even though the demigod worship, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, is authentic, it is authorized in the Vedas, then why Prabhupada was so strong in telling his devotees not to do anything with the demigods? Because the process of demigod worship involves elaborate yajnas and pujas. Their process does not change as the yuga changes. Because they are salesmen. They cannot change. If there is lack of customers, the salesman will sit there only. He will not make a special endeavor to go out and get the customers in this shop. That is the business of the owner. So demigods don't change their process. If you want to please them, you have to do all elaborate worship. So if you try to go by step, there is no guarantee how long you are going to live. In the previous yugas, the gradual progression was allowed. But seeing Srila Prabhupada, that lifespan is so less, Prabhupada directly presented that there is no need to worship any demigod, just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for pure devotional service. Even though demigods worship is authorized, but your lifespan is so small, then better worship the Supreme Lord. Whatever you want, you approach Him. Because normally it is seen that a demigod worshipper, he does not become purified. A demigod worshipper, he increases his contamination along with the objects of sense gratification. When he enjoys it, eventually he goes up to such an extent that he wants to take the position of the demigod himself. All the demons, headed by Ravana, Vrakasur, all these demons, their desire was either to enjoy. Vrakasur wanted to enjoy Mother Parvati. But with the worship of Lord Krishna, even if you go with material desires, like Dhruva Maharaj, his material desire was much superior than Vrakasur's material desires. But because he worshipped Lord Krishna, what happened? He got purified. And Vrakasur worshipped not as a pure devotee Lord Shiva, but as a demigod Lord Shiva. What happened? He was lusting after Mother Parvati. Therefore, demigod worship means contamination. It is unavoidable. Worship of a superior person means contamination. When you give up the worship of the Lord and worship some big, big man, then their contamination comes into you. Their kind of life comes into you. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that a devotee of the Lord, 100%, he has to give up the demigod worship and trick others to worship Lord Vishnu, seeing another sampradaya. That how the demigod worship, we were traveling during Mayapur Yatra, Radhanand Maharaj had sent us to look for some new places so that the devotees can go. And in some places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's original deity, the Supreme Lord, whom was worshipped by the great Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, even in those temples, it is quite unfortunate to see that, you know, right on the altar, there are the pictures of demigods. In the main place in Kheturi, in the land of Narottam Das Thakur, who stopped many of his followers from worshipping the demigods, right there also there are many people worshipping the demigods. In fact, one time we were in Nagpur, and this man was a Gaudiya Vaishnav. He had a beautiful deities of Radha Krishna. Beautiful worship of Radha Krishna was going on. 6 times offering he does. And when he took us inside, he was speaking how he worshipped, who is his guru, and he took us inside the altar. And inside that altar, there was a picture of a man who claims to be God. It was like a person very beautifully decorated, but white leprosy is there. We saw Radha Krishna deities. When we saw that picture, it was so gruesome. Now, this man who claims to be God, he looks very ugly. Now, he claims he is God, he claims he is Krishna, he claims he is Ram. Even though this man is worshipping Radha Krishna, but right on the altar, there is a picture of a man, an ordinary mortal. In fact, he is a blasphemous. Ordinary person is much better than him. Why? Because he knows that I am an ordinary person. But this person, he claims himself to be God. And he was also not decorating the altar, but he was contaminating the altar. So that is the power of either the direct demigod worship, or else those who are very powerful human beings whom people worship as the demigods. Therefore, Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains to teach this lesson very clearly. If the Brajbasis, of course this is yoga maya potency, even the Brajbasis became affected by demigod worship. Therefore, out of transcendental anger and to crush the pride of Indra, what Krishna did was, he inaugurated Govardhan Puja and he lifted the Govardhan Hill. Remember one time, one devotee came. When he became freshly devotee, he had got huge pack of different demigods. And then he became a devotee of Lord Krishna. And when he wanted to ask, what should I do with the demigods now? he had not that great confidence. And again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, because of lack of confidence, sometimes people approach the demigods. So he came to Radhananda Maharaj saying that, you know, all these years I worshipped the demigods, what to do now? If I give up, something will happen. So seeing his faith, you know, Maharaj said, okay, you can worship, but keep Krishna in a prominent position. And regularly by hearing devotees speak, reading Prabhupada's books, he realized that he is doing not a right thing. And slowly, slowly, Krishna is going much higher and the demigods are coming much lower and lower. And eventually packed all the demigods in one bag and he sent it to some place. So only Krishna could be worshipped exclusively. So therefore, as we discussed many, many experience stories from other sampradayas in our own place. One time I remember when we used to go for in our temple in the beginning, the service was collecting for food for life. Every day you have to go with coupons and collect money. And when I joined, there was one brahmachari who was senior to me. He said, look, because we have to collect money, we need the assistance of Mother Lakshmi. So let us go to Mahalakshmi temple. And he would take me to Mahalakshmi temple and sit there for 1 hour. And he was my authority. I had to follow him. And waste time praying Lakshmi. You know, Prabhupada writes, you worship Narayan, Lakshmi will automatically follow. And when I saw that he is wasting so many hours, I had to tell my president, Prabhuji, see, he is wasting his time 2-3 hours. So you can see that even devotees, and he was there for 3-4 years. But because, okay, this I have to do, let me go there. And demigods also are the astrologers. For devotees, sometimes anyone who has got better power than us is considered as a demigod. And approaching and taking shelter of the astrologer is also considered as worship of a demigod only. Recently, we asked this question to Bhavanand Prabhu. He said, even Prabhupada used to go to the astrologer, he used to look his astrological chart. He said, very simple. He said, Prabhupada, when he would approach the astrologer, he said, let us have a nice fun. He would not go there with great seriousness. He said, let us have nice fun, let us see what the astrologer say. Just as a humor, sometime you would approach the astrologer, not as putting faith and confidence in them. You know, one time we were discussing with Maharaj, some brahmachari started approaching the astrologer, saying that, you know, we have to see what is our karma, because karma is very powerful, one cannot overcome karma, one cannot overcome one's swabhava. So better we approach the astrologers. And it became like people started bringing their kundali, and trying to see. And he said, this is complete nonsense. Even though the science is authentic, but where are those people who are practicing authentically? And he gave an example of one devotee. One devotee approached the astrologer and this astrologer said, okay, you are going to have a daughter. Your daughter is going to have a daughter. And next day he came, your daughter is going to have a son. And when she had a daughter, he said, whatever I said first time is the right thing. So therefore, you know, Maharaj always mentions that there are two diseases, one for the grihastha and one for the brahmacharis. One disease for the brahmachari is that collecting so many books. And the disease for the grihastha is that loitering from one astrologer to another astrologer, looking what's going to happen. Prabhupada never took it seriously, took it as a fun, not as a serious matter. When we put more faith, Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I think Jiva Goswami, he comments on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. that when a devotee puts more faith in these things rather than Krishna, that shows that he lacks faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our process is that exclusive service to Krishna, and then if there is a fun, you want to enjoy a fun, you can go there, but not put faith in that. If you lead your life based upon astrology, not based upon Krishna's philosophy, there will be a naturally some danger will come to your life. There will be natural danger. There are people, you know, one devotee came from America, somewhere in Punjab, there is one lady, she talks about Bhrigu Samhita. And one devotee is there, is a Prabhupada disciple, he is devoted to her. What does he call many devotees? You go there, you know, she will help you to overcome your problems. But this is not the scriptural understanding. The Brajbasis, when there was a danger, not that they took the shelter of astrologer, but they took shelter of Krishna. Astrologer can only tell you what will happen. In fact, one time one devotee went to an astrologer. He told him, you know, you don't chant this Hare Krishna mantra, but I'll give some other mantra. Chant this mantra, this will be beneficial for your material problem. Devotional service does not teach to overcome the problems. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, one German philosopher came to India, he studied Bhagavad Gita, and he said, the science of Bhagavad Gita teaches what? Not to overcome, but to tolerate. Demigod worship, approaching astrologer, approaching big men of this world, is for what? Not to learn the art of tolerating the trouble, but to avoid the trouble. But worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead involves not to avoid the trouble, but to learn the art of tolerating. Therefore, in the second chapter only, Krishna makes it very clear. What does it say? Matra sparshastu kauntaya shitoshna sukha dukkada. So this German scholar said, what a fine scripture. Because it is teaching not to avoid situation, not to change your environment, but to live with your environment. Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna very clearly, my dear Arjuna, by taking shelter of me, not that your situation is going to change. You still have to fight your family members. You have to still stand on the chariot. You still have to take the bow and arrow and shoot. That Krishna made it very clearly. And you go to any of these demigods, any of these astrologers, any of these so-called gods, they cheat by saying that I will change your situations. Therefore, they are not in line with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they are not supposed to be worshipped. Therefore, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be worshipped. And if they assist in our worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can use astrology, then we can use the demigods, then we can use all big, big people. Otherwise, it is not required. One has to be exclusively serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will give us ultimate success. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Generally, it is seen that if somebody with material motivations also worships the Supreme Lord, then motivations go away. But in the Bhagavatam, the story of Pururava, where he worships Krishna, goes Uruvashi. Even after the Supreme Lord appears, he is asking for Uruvashi. So what is the difference between him and Dhruva? Both lines to worship the Lord with material motive. But one got purified and one did not. Even after the Supreme Lord came, he was asking for Uruvashi.
Now, sometime depending upon different personality, even if they come to Lord Vishnu, we discuss this. What is your background? Pururava's background was so much, he was in intense desire to have Urvashi. Huh? So he had to go through that experience of enjoying. Eventually, you see in the 11th canto, that he got purified. Therefore, Krishna is very accommodating. He does not simply say that you become pure immediately. Because Pururava could not. But with Dhruva Maharaj, because he went along with Narad Muni, he approached through Narad Muni, already the purification had begun. And actually when he actually completely worshipped the Lord, he gave up all of his material desires. But with Pururava, seeing his desperate desire to enjoy with Urvashi, Krishna gave that. But how long? How was it? Once in a year. So you can imagine, in that enjoyment there was unlimited suffering. Now, Radhana Maharaj explains that this is how Krishna tricks everyone. He gives one drop of enjoyment and within that enjoyment he keeps the seed of banyan tree of suffering. Now, one drop of enjoyment is there, but there is a seed of banyan tree which eventually grows into a banyan tree. Therefore, Pururava Maharaj explained in the 11th canto, he compiled that Aila Gita. So purification took place, but little longer time, but he became purified. That was sure. With the demigods, it is very risky. Even though it is a gradual progression is there, but especially for Kali Yuga, your worship is not... Where do you get the Brahmanas to help you to worship the demigods? You have to do the same process what you used to do in Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga. You don't find that the demigod worship, the process changes. They don't say that now in this age of Kali, our worship, we have made it very easy. Only Krishna can do that. In Satya there was Dhyan, in Treta there was Yajna, in Dwapari there was deity worship, but seeing the, you know, the weakness of the people, he says, okay, you can't do anything, chant Hare Krishna. Only Krishna can change the process, because he is the Supreme Lord. But the demigods don't change their process. It remains as it is, and as the years pass by, the process become more and more difficult one. The same process become much difficult. But as the age passes for devotees of Krishna, Krishna makes it more easier and easier. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, unless you chant 64 rounds, I think unless you finish 55 crores of Hare Krishna Mahamantra in your lifetime, 55, na? How much? Yeah, I think 15 crores or some big amount which we cannot chant. He said, you will not go back to Godhead. That was his principle. Huh? But seeing the contamination within how many years? Not even 50 years. Srila Prabhupada, what he did? He said, no, you can't do it. Chant 16 rounds. So the acharyas, what they do? They maintain the principle, but the details change so that we can go back to Godhead. And with one devotee, Prabhupada said, okay, you don't want to chant, no problem, but engage in Krishna service. He became even more magnanimous to him. So that is how devotional service involves. Huh? Krishna says, at least chant one time. But demigods cannot do that. You know, if you want to do some kind of yajna, Mahamrutunja yajna, you have to chant that many numbers only. If something less, there will be a reaction. Now, demigods cannot minimize. The Brahmanas minimize the process so that they have to go to some other place to do puja. But the demigods don't do it. Therefore, it is easier and better to worship the Supreme Lord.
While talking about Karma philosophy,
yeah. So the question is that in our discussion, even if the Supreme Lord speaks philosophy against the Vedas, that should be rejected. But Krishna says sometime, you know, kill, then we have to do that. So what is this contradiction? Again, when Krishna gives certain instruction, he gives instruction based upon different people's disposition through the spiritual master. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains, Lord Chaitanya in the same family gave three people different instruction. One he said, worship the deity. Somebody else he said, do not marry. Somebody said, you become grahastha and preach. So depending upon different disposition, he gives different instruction. But they are all under the principle of, under the boundary of the scriptures only. They don't go beyond that. The details may change, but the principle remains the same. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling to kill. But why killing? Because Arjuna as a Kshatriya will kill. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if Arjuna would have gone to the jungle, live on begging, because he's a Kshatriya, when he is told, get out of this house. Because when you go for begging, not everybody will offer you. So when Arjuna is told like that, go and, you know, do some job. So what will happen? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he'll become very angry and he'll kill him. Therefore you can't stop killing. So better kill the people who are supposed to be killed. So Krishna is giving instruction according to the disposition of the person. So therefore herein, what Buddha preached was totally against the Vedas, and Vedas are our authorities. One cannot avoid the instructions of the Vedas. One may not understand the right meaning of the Vedas, that is a different thing. You may take the letter of the law and forget the spirit of the law. That is not the problem of the Vedas, that is our problem. Animal sacrifice is there in the Vedas, but not as an act of cruelty. When the animal sacrifice was taken wrongly by the Brahmanas, it is explained in the quarters of the Brahmanas, where the Brahmanas would live, because in the Vedic time, everybody had a different quarters. And especially the Yagyik Brahmanas' quarters were filled with the cries of the animals. And the blood was flowing from their quarters. Because they misunderstood. That is the problem of material world. That anything can be misused, even the scriptures. Kamsa was misusing the scripture. He was speaking the same philosophy what Krishna spoke in the second chapter. Hiranyakashipu spoke the same philosophy of you are not this body, everything happens because of, you know, providence, so one should not lament for whatever is supposed to happen. So even the demons can quote scriptures. Therefore the intentions are wrong, then even scriptures can be dangerous. Therefore, not everybody was allowed to quote scriptures. We discussed in our Mahabharata story. It is not that only you know the art, therefore you should be given that facility. Ekalavya was much better in one sense than Arjun, but he was not qualified. It is just like, you know, atomic energy in the hands of Bin Laden. Of course everybody, even either one is legally Bin Laden or illegally Bin Laden. All the governments are like that. So weapons in the hand of a wrong person is going to cause destruction. So Shastra and Shastra are the same thing. Shastra can also be very dangerous and deadly if it is not properly used. So the point is that when the Lord Himself preaches, which is not according to what is mentioned in the Vedas, then it has to be rejected. Therefore we use this argument for the Ritvik people who claim that there should be no parampara system, Prabhupada is the ultimate guru, and they quote some letter which is not according to, you know, the regular understanding. So our point is that even if a bona fide spiritual master, as Gaur Gopalpa was mentioning yesterday, that the king was praised, why? The real praise of the king was because of the connection of his ancestors. Similarly, when you make Prabhupada independent of the parampara, that is a great offense. And that's what specifically they do. They say, we don't care for Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we don't care for Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada saved our life. That is an offense to Prabhupada. To separate Prabhupada from the parampara system. One time when there was a discussion, you know, many GBCs were there, and one so-called lover of Prabhupada, one devotee quoted, this is what Bhakti Vinod Thakur said. He said, don't talk about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He said, we have nothing to do with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we only have to do with Prabhupada. That means he does not know, it is not real glory of Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself said, my real glory is that if my commentary resembles the previous acharyas, that is my satisfaction. Somebody told Prabhupada, your Bhagavad Gita's commentary is exactly like Ramanujacharya. He said, that is very good. He said, if you are seeing that, I am very satisfied that I am not drifting away from the parampara. So the argument is that if Prabhupada speaks that Guru Parampara stops, then that should be rejected. It is just like Lord Krishna speaking in the form of Buddha, reject the Vedas. Because you cannot. A principle can never be taken out. So therefore, Guru Parampara means Guru Sadhu Shastra. And even Krishna follows this. And when Krishna did not follow in the form of Buddha, you read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Prabhupada, right. Therefore, the followers of the Vedas, even though they accept Buddha as incarnation, Shaktavesh, but they do not worship and they don't accept his philosophy. Yes?
So one of the philosophies which Krishna spoke is that one cannot overcome one's swabhava. We elaborate on that. In the sense, is it necessary or is it mandatory for devotees to change their swabhava? Because sometimes we actually see that most of us, we just doubted our nature in Krishna service. If somebody who is already great from previous condition, now also he is very great. Somebody who is fun loving and who likes to play around, even in devotee circle is little like that. So how much actually a devotee can change his swabhava? In what context this particular philosophy is to be understood?
In connection to pure devotional service, pure devotional service is so independent. Not Krishna saying that swabhava is the supreme over in God. Our swabhava, our nature, you know, is independent. It is over God. Even God cannot change it. But in connection to devotional service, what was the swabhava of Mrigari? Swabhava of Mrigari was to become cruel. You know, half kill animals. But in connection with devotional service, what he became? He became completely non-violent.
What I meant is that, like, even all devotees, everybody change their life in a way that they follow the four regulated principles, give up sinful life. But the subtle swabhava which is there, that generally doesn't go over.
Now therefore we have to see from two different angles. From the point of view of devotional service, anything can be changed. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhaja. But from another point of view, as a conditioned soul, as a practicing devotees, we see that I have got some particular disposition. So what does the spiritual master do? That particular disposition is our conditioning. It is our karma, our previous karma. So what does he do? He engages our particular conditioning in the service of the Lord and he purifies it. He does not say that you change it. He makes you purify that. And that becomes spiritualized. One acharya explained that the same Bhagavad Gita Krishna had spoken to Uddhava, his decision would have been not to fight. And that would be perfectly accepted by Krishna. Because Gita doesn't teach that you should fight. Gita teaches that you should do your duty according to your swabhava. So swabhava is supposed to be doubted. Naturally, that if somebody is black in color, he cannot change into white. He have to live with that. So similarly, my disposition, your disposition are contrary. You know, you will doubt in that in the service of the Lord. You don't pray to Krishna, let it change. You doubt in that in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. That's what Prabhupada taught everyone. Now, the Americans, when they came, they were quite rash. One devotee was saying, he said, the difference between Indians and Americans is that, this devotee was saying that, Indians can sit in one place for 12 hours doing nothing and come perfectly all right. He said, when I see in Mayapur, the security guards are standing in one place like a statue, not doing anything for 12 hours, so I become amused. And he said, that means they are quite, you know, composed and quite sattvic. He said, we as Americans, we are so restless. So what Prabhupada did? He utilized their restlessness in the service of the Lord. And again, Prabhupada said, okay, one good thing about you that you are not attached to family. But that doesn't mean that being attachment to family is a bad sign. Prabhupada himself was attached to his family. In a good sense. To think that one has to become non-attached to family, that is the sign of devotional service, that is wrong. Prabhupada took that defect into a positive thing. That okay, you are not attached to your family, that is very good. Huh? Therefore, we see that, and then when devotees felt that, sometimes devotees preach that, you know, separation, in the Western world, they are not very attached to one wife or one husband. That is not considered as detachment. That is a defect. But Prabhupada seeing that, okay, they can't have anything else other than this kind of environment, this kind of situation, he utilized them in the service of the Lord. That's the point. Mataji, any question? Yes. The question is that somebody is born deformed or by accident, you know, he becomes deformed, he loses his limbs. And by modern technology, you know, we can reform him, make him nice. So is it that we are interfering with Krishna's energy? Therefore in the Ayurvedic system, you know, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was telling me, that there are different levels of disease. When you reach a level where it is called as Maharog, now we see that in the stories of king becoming sick and the Vaidya then coming telling him, now nothing can cure you. That means the difference in the modern system and the Ayurvedic system is that they would try to heal the patient, but when they would come to know that, okay, this is, therefore the doctors would also know the astrology perfectly. And they would see everything, okay, this much you are going to live, then we can try to heal you. Then the medicine can work. But in the modern medicine, because they defy the supremacy of God, they defy the control of God, what they do? They try to do something beyond. And so therefore in one sense they are interfering with the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the Ayurvedic system was like, you know, it was complete. That the treatment was there, you know, the surgery was there, everything was there, but everything was based upon seeing the disposition. How long he is going to live? Now, it's like, you know, they say that in snake bite, the snake charmer, one who knows the mantras of the snake, he is also a very self-controlled person. He cannot eat here and there. You know, he has to take bath in certain time, then only his mantras work. Before curing from the snake bite, the snake charmer, he actually consults, he talks to the snake. He has that facility. And if it is accidentally bitten, then only you can be cured. But it is in your karma to be bitten by the snake and to be dead, then it does not interfere. That may be considered by the modern people, what is this, you know, your putting some faith in some, you know, some vague God and some kind of scriptures. Therefore, in one sense, if you see that, and even if it is not, if they are not interfering, you consider like that, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, what is the use of a body, healthy body, if it is not engaged in the service of the Lord? Just like simple example, the difference between our doctor doing the surgery, eye operation, and then a famous person, one who started his eye surgery. One may be a blind, then if we give him an eye, and if that person misuses, he exploits, he becomes a burglar, he becomes a raper, then because you gave him the eye, as much as he receives the karma, the doctor also receives. Therefore it is very risky to just to do social service without giving Krishna. Now one may have a limping leg, just like we see this, you know, big posters are put by the Christian people that such and such priest has come, and if you are limping, if you don't have a leg, you know, they can heal you, they can give you a leg. And usually what happens, the person who gets the leg, before to go to the liquor shop he had to take long time, 1 hour, limping. Now he has a leg, he runs to the liquor shop within 5 minutes. The person who gave him the leg, without giving the philosophy of Vaishnavism, the priest or whatever he is, he has to experience or he has to suffer the same karma as the person is suffering. So therefore, according to Vedic system, they would not interfere. And again, now how do you know that you are interfering or not? Now we have doctors, Ayurvedic doctors are there, but they are not so expert. So therefore, it is better that you try to heal, because Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that one should try to live as long as possible, because that is the nature of the living entity, to extend one's life, to practice devotional service. So we have that understanding, okay, I will give this limbs or give this eye so that he can see the beautiful form of the Lord. If he does not see, that is his problem, but that is our intention. Otherwise, according to the Vedic scripture, if you interfere in the organization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is demonic. But to decide, are we interfering or not, it is very difficult. Yes? The risk is involved there. The question is, there are some devotees, they think that we will worship Lakshmi and whatever Lakshmi comes, we will use in the service of Krishna. Again, that has not been authorized by Srila Prabhupada or the previous acharyas. Again, when you start something new, confirm, as is discussed with Parikshit Maharaj also, he was taking a vow of dying within 7 days. He confirmed with the authorities. So if you are doing something of your own imagination which has not been done by the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, then you better take blessings from devotees. If you do independently, that is absolutely speculative and it has no blessing. It is material, not spiritual. Even you may claim that I am going to use it in Krishna service, but where is the authority for that? Did you ask from someone? If I start doing, before, becoming a preacher, let me worship Saraswati because she gives, nice facilities to talk. Then anything we do new, and we have seen in our own temple, before we joined ISKCON, so many speculative ideas in the name of coming from directly from Krishna without the blessing. And what was the reaction? Total disruption of so many people's faith. Even big devotees. Anything you do, and that was one of the biggest historical event, that so many changes were taken place in the name of what? In the name of preaching, but there was no blessings. Even though it may be innovative, but because there was no blessing, Krishna crashed it. And what to speak of us, doing something independently and saying that, I am going to use this in the service of the Lord. That time also the same argument was presented. Whatever we are doing for the service of the Lord. But if Krishna does not accept, if the devotees don't accept, certainly Krishna does not accept. Therefore it is very risky. Jayadev Maharaj was telling recently in Mayapur, he said, when you present Krishna conscious philosophy to people, you just don't add anything, don't subtract anything. And when you do like that, Krishna will empower you to do something which you yourself will not understand. He gave the example of, Sukadev Prabhupada wrote books, but you would be amused reading his book. Did I write like this? I can't imagine that I have written like this. He said, which author reads his own books? And there is a Chaitanya Charitamrita shloka in the Madhya Lila. Shiva Vedmanavid. Shiva knows Shuka Vetti, Vyasa Vetti Navetti. Shukadeva Goswami knows, Lord Shiva knows. But Vyasa may know or may not know. So somebody asked him question, how is that Vyasdev is the compiler of all the Vedic literature, how is that he knows or he does not know? And he said, Lord Chaitanya also told Sanatana Goswami, I do not know what I am speaking. In the Madhya Lila is there. He said, I do not know what I am speaking. You are there, because of you I am speaking, and something is coming out of my mouth, I do not know what I am speaking. He said, something is coming out. And Sanatana Goswami is experiencing great inspiration by whatever Lord Chaitanya is speaking. One devotee told, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give lecture, after the lecture was over, you know, it was natural that disciples would come to him. He said, Guru Maharaj, you spoke so nicely. He said, what did I speak? Prabhupada would also ask. He said, then the devotee would say that, Saraswati Thakur, you spoke this and this. And you would be amused, did I speak that? Surely? He said, yes, this is my notes. He said, I didn't know that I spoke that. Even he would be wonderstruck what he spoke. That was fresh for him. He said, I was becoming like a Gobar Ganesh. Gobar Ganesh means substanceless. Something was going through me, but you have understood it. And through you I am listening that I spoke this. That was a new revelation. So therefore, that's how the whole parampara becomes diluted. That one person adds in the name of serving Krishna, another person adds something else in the name of serving Krishna. Therefore, Dhananda Maharaj is explaining that what Prabhupada consciously left behind, some devotees are bringing it consciously into our society. So there is no need putting, you know, some kind of, kavachas and, you know, some kind of paitas. Prabhupada gave us kantimala, Brahmin thread and devotional dress, that's all. If we add, then so many other things will come then, slowly, 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 slowly. There is no end to it. And that's how the parampara becomes diluted. If it happened with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole Lord Chaitanya's philosophy became the beggar's profession. Mahaprabhu's philosophy became the beggar's profession. It became the activities of debauchery. All these sahajiyas, how did it begin? With Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. Because of diversion and because of deviation. Yes? Sadhya Prabhu? Spiritual energy. Yeah, the first thing is that any of the Shastra, Vastu Shastra, Astrology and Ayurvedic. The question is that just like Astrology now, Vastu Shastra is becoming quite prominent amongst devotees, they are applying Vastu Shastra. If you study the Vedic science, that all of this science has to be practiced not as a profession. If a practitioner charges money, it is finished. You know, one of our devotees, or Madan Gopal Prabhu, is quite, you know, very, very much involved in natural living. He had some kind of problem on his body, white marks. So he read some books, Ayurvedic books, and he was taking this Ayurvedic ghanavati, cow urine which is solidified. And then, surprisingly, he took for 6 months, He was completely freed from that problem. And you know our Mahashringa Prabhu in Hyderabad, he had this problem of, it is white leprosy, you know? Huh? White leprosy all over his body. And he went to all the doctors. In fact, in the medical science, there is no medicine for that. So then, Madan Gopal Prabhu gave him, he said, you take this regularly. And I was recently with him. He said, 80% of that disease is cured. So naturally, as a businessman, he said, why not, you know, we start business up with this. Madan Gopal Prabhu said, look, I gave you this medicine not as a business. You know, Ayurvedic science, astrology science, Vastu Shastra science involves a practitioner can never make a profession. That itself, in the beginning stage only, there, whatever they are doing, it proves that it is unbona fide. That's the first thing. He said, then the medicine loses its effect. Your information of astrology loses its effect. Your Vastu Shastra's information loses its effect. And secondly, one more person told, he said in Vastu Shastra, Vastu involves building, right, construction. He said any Vastu, if it has to work, it is seen, first point is that, how is your family relationship? If the family is not living in harmony, so that is the first principle, if the family is not living in harmony, every 16 days there is a division. One son goes out here, second son goes out here. If there is all the time the division, and then you say, on that level, let us have a Vastu. It is a false Vastu. It is not Vastu, but it is a shadow. And this is a practitioner was telling me. And therefore, people only talk about where to keep my treasury. Paisa ka kapat kahan rakhna hai, wo batao. No, but all these things are involved. So therefore, only if there is such a practitioner, especially for a devotee, if you are, you know, one devotee was mentioning that there is one astrologer, he charges 5,000 rupees for one question. He cannot be an astrologer. He is a businessman. Nowhere in the Vedic literature it is said like that. There are some astrologers, they don't charge anything, absolutely don't charge. So therefore, if somebody makes these sciences a professional business, their advice, their opinion is like a gambling match. It's a probability. You know, it may come true, not because of he has said it, you know, by chance it has come true. So these are things are involved. And then, if you get such an astrologer, if you get such an Vastu Shastra, that science can be doubted in the service of the Lord, because all the temples, Prabhupada, somebody told him, Swamiji, what is this? Your temple is not facing east. It is according to Vastu, it is not correct. Prabhupada said, Ito Narsinga, Paroto Narsinga, Yeto Yeto Yami Tato Narsinga, Bahir Narsinga, Hriday Narsinga. He said, Lord is everywhere. What to speak of east and west? He is inside, outside, up, down. He said, everywhere Lord Narsinga is there. He didn't care for that. But if there was a facility, when he was opening temples in America, according to Vedas, crossing the sea is against the Vastu. Because the direction itself is wrong. It is Bhoga Bhumi. Now how can there be any auspiciousness in Bhoga Bhumi? But still, to give Krishna consciousness, he made that Bhoga Bhumi into Bhagya Bhumi. He made it into devotional country. By devotional power, therefore when he was establishing temple, he didn't care therefore about Vastu. But in India, he said, okay, now we can do it. We can doubt it. So whenever there is a facility and there are proper astrologers who are living with that principle, otherwise, you know, I knew right in front of my home one astrologer was there. And big people would come to him. DSPs, DIGs. And his son was quite good friend. You know. And he would tell what they would ask, what kind of questions they would ask. All related to completely materialistic things. How will I make more money? And the same astrologer in the night, you know, people had to carry him from some gutter. Why? Because he would be drunk so much. They have to pick him up, put in a rickshaw, and then 2-3 people, his own friends who are not so intoxicated, they would take him inside. I have seen it so many times. He is a big astrologer, big people are coming, but what is his character? You know, he is drunk, lying in a sewage water, and somebody has to pick up. All of this science, if they are only like that, they can practice. Otherwise, it is waste of our money, waste of our time, and minimizing our faith. But if there is someone like that, you know, Radhanand Maharaj is telling, he said, if there is any such astrologer who is very authentic, he said, I don't mind. But first prove me that he is authentic. They can play around with the life of people. It's like a doctor who is not trained. If you have a doctor who is not trained and he performs a surgery, finished. Similarly, they can play around with people. Yes, that's in the... Vansidhar. Then you got Prasad. This is a regular question asked by so many devotees since so many years. What to do with the demigod prasad? What we usually do when we go to, you know, somebody's house or some program, naturally they give, like Ganesh festival we go to preach Krishna consciousness. And they will naturally give some modak, demigod prasad. Huh? Or they say, why don't you take food here? So when we, if they give something dry prasad, we take it. Offer obeisances, oh thank you very much. And give it to some beggars. We don't take it because Rupa Goswami very clearly mentions one should not take the prasad of the demigods. Because it is offered with a wrong intention. And if they are insisting upon feeding you, you make your stomach bad. That is a very good thing. Huh? He said, you know, my stomach is not good. I cannot take food. And then, how long can you do it? So therefore preach. Huh? Everything happens because, you know, we are hesitant. What will he think? What will he think? What will he think? I was discussing with many of our young children. Now they know the philosophy very nicely. And unfortunately many of their friends don't even know that they are devotees of Hare Krishna. And because they are scared, you know, what they will think. But without they knowing, you know, they influence their kind of culture to them. So better than they informing, they influencing you, you influence them. Yeah, that will take some time. Therefore, till then you keep using these tricks.
No, I have to go to my brother's
place. Yeah. For brother, you can clearly tell him that I am devotee of Krishna. He will not mind. With brother, you can have very easy relationship. But somebody is not known to you, not very much acquainted. With that person, you may have to use diplomacy. And then again, if it is absolutely, you know, it's a question of if I respect and, you know, make him happy, but by doing that, eventually his life is going to change. You know, then to please him by praying to Krishna, my dear Lord, not that I have any interest in demigod prasad. I know the contamination will come because the person is offered with bad intention, but only with the intention of making him your devotee. It's a risk, but you can take that risk. Again, there is no black and white. If you, sometime it is seen, you know, directly people are offended. Oh, demigod prasad, we don't take. Finished. You can't preach anymore. You tell the truth, but you make him stray away from the absolute truth. If you make him stray away from the absolute truth for good, then your speaking of truth is a lie. So that art has to be understood by a devotee. Or else, you know, when you go there and there is a puja, you know, you take some water which is Charanamrita of the Lord. Something has to be done, you sprinkle on that, just like the pujaris are doing in South. They would offer everything to the Shaligram. Now also if you go to these old temples, which were there during the 14th and 15th century, under the, you know, protection of the Vijayanagar Samraj, they were Madhva Vaishnavas. If you go to the old temples, you will see the demigod. You will see Shiva, you will see Durga, you will see Kartikeya. But actually if you ask the pujari, if you actually inquire him, he will take out the Shaligram. He said first it goes to him. So that is the trick you can use like that. That's what I'm saying. So when, again, Prabhupada, I don't know, Gopinath, he said it is unbona fide, no? The Prabhupada said that is not bona fide. He said that is not bona fide, the whole process of Satyanarayana Puja, the completely karma kand, 100% karma kand, is not Satyanarayana, is asatya. So, therefore, if they are doing, you have to make a trick. You can't stop it. You know, make it more authentic by, you know, bringing Radha Krishna or some picture of Radha Krishna and offering it as Ravindranathan Prabhu said. You take the full charge of that. And when you, like, you know, there is an art. Our Madhava was saying that Yudhishthira Prabhu, when handling his son, he has studied very much how to take care, how to handle the children. Yudhishthira Prabhu told me personally one time, his son wanted to go to McDonald's. Said, okay, I'll take you. He didn't say no. When you say no, then whatever next you say, he's not going to listen because he knows already that father doesn't want to take me, therefore he's giving all these excuses. He told him, yes, no problem, we'll go. And when he said, we will go, already child became receptive that my father is going to take me. And he told him everything, what happens in McDonald's. This happens, that happens, this happens, they kill the cows. And this boy is very attached to the cows. When he heard that they kill the cows, he never ever asked that I want to go there. So similarly, you may appear to be saying yes to them and you give the explanation. One should make them receptive to your opinions. Just like yesterday, you know, the person who came here, he gave the talk. He glorified Prabhupada. He opened our heart. Right. Then Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnana Brahma, Tattva Masi, everything came. So that is how we have to use the same trick for giving Krishna consciousness. We can't be blunt. Sometimes you may have to be blunt. With your brother you can become as a friendly relationship. But with some people who are very new, you know that we'll preach to them, then you can use a trick. That's how Maharaj was telling, Radhanand Maharaj was telling during one case in America. The lawyer was fighting against the devotees. He was telling this story to Madhavanand Prabhu. I was sitting there. He said, this lawyer was so demonic. And the devotees, you know, they don't want to kill them. They don't want to fight them. They want to change them. So how to convert him? So Maharaj told, you know, he made some cakes, nice prasadam, offered it with great love for the Lord. And he came to this lawyer, and he told him a very blunt lie. Sometime he says, sometime he told, you know, my wife has cooked, or sometime he said my mother, in public. He said, this mother has cooked on my birthday, and she warned me that whomever I meet today, they should receive the cake so that I can there get their blessings. This lawyer was very happy. If you had told him, this is Krishna Prasad, you demon, you will become devotee now, you eat it, you would have not taken. You have to be tricked. and he tricked him like that. And Maharaj told him, when people come to you as a patients, you give them pills and you tell them without fail every day, 3 times a day, you have to take it. This is the most important medicine. And what is it? It is nothing but prasad put in a pill. That way you trick him, because you know many people will come, they will not take your prasad. Just like when we are distributing food in some places, we don't tell we didn't distribute prasad, we say we are offering you some sweets. Why not take some sweets? If you tell prasad, they may become hesitant. So you have to use your God given intelligence to apply. That, yes, Mataji. Prabhupada explains demigod in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is there, and Prabhupada elaborates in many other places. But again, that as I said, we cannot be black and white. The question is, why to be so fanatical about that? Just like we are also contaminated, and when we offer it to Krishna, it becomes purified. So similarly, a contaminated person offers to demigods, and one can say that demigods are representative of the Lord, you know, they will offer it to God and accept it. But as for, this is one place Prabhupada said, because the person who offers it to demigods, the contamination of a devotee and the contamination of a materialistic devotee is different. Our contamination is our anarthas. That is a difference from the demigod devotee's contamination. His anartha is that, he's so materialistically aspiring that I want this, I want that. There is no sincere desire to be a purified person. He wants to enjoy the facilities offered by the demigod. But devotee is not like that. That is what it is, a contamination. And again, as I said, it all depends upon every individual preacher how to handle it. There is no black and white. If we think that this is the best way and to preach Krishna consciousness, one can do it like that. And somebody else, you know, like in our ISKCON, there are some preachers who are very harsh and blunt. They can directly speak on the face, and it has seen that some people, when it is spoken like that, is like flashlight to them. And if some devotees, they beat around the bush slowly, again, it all depends upon every individual. You know, he has that disposition. Both have the same sincerity. For one it works like that, and for one it works like that. If I try to imitate what Prabhupada did, like in Pune, that our Rati, they wanted to inaugurate one book. And, you know, they came to Maharaj, said, Maharaj, can you come and inaugurate this book? So Maharaj told Samana Prabhu, he said, you read this whole book, it was in Hindi, and see what this book is talking about. And 30% is what Vaishnava, and 70% it was Mayavad, you know, it was Karmakand. Maharaj said, I cannot go to, you know, inaugurate this book. But at the same time, I can't tell them that it is Mayavad, because they are our friends. And he told the story of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was in Jagannath Puri. One man arranged a huge program. And whole intention of that program was that he wanted to inaugurate his book through Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came, Prabhupada was giving lecture, and this man was, you know, asking, you know, Swamiji, why not talk about my book, why not talk about my book, when will you inaugurate my book, when Prabhupada was giving talk. And eventually this man, seeing that Prabhupada may not inaugurate his book, he got up while Prabhupada was giving lecture, now Swamiji is going to inaugurate my book. He openly announced, and Prabhupada said, this book is full of rubbish, it contains all nonsense, I have not come to inaugurate this book. He bluntly said like that. He bluntly said like that. And Maharaj said, I cannot do that. He said, I cannot do it. So, you tell him that Maharaj has no time to come, somebody else can do it. So it all depends upon, is it Maharaja's not following Prabhupada? As Prabhupada's disciple, why is not blunt and straightforward? It depends upon every individual. If somebody, you know, has that disposition, straightforward, speaks, and he changes people's heart, or somebody else does in this way. It is not, I cannot teach my technique to somebody else. This is my technique, therefore everybody should follow. Again, it's a very technical, it is. Demigods are devotees of the Lord. They will only eat Krishna Prasad. Just like Guru. Again, there are two opinions about offering Guru Prasad also. Some say that you don't need to offer Prasad to Guru. You can offer Bhoga to Guru. Because whatever he eats, whatever he does it as an offering to God. So why offer it to Krishna and then offer Prasad to Guru? Let him offer because he is more pure. Our offering is contaminated. Better let him offer. But I have seen, you know, many sannyasis, those who are gurus, you know, they always say that, did you offer to Krishna? He offered it to Krishna. Only whatever is offered to Krishna, he gave to me. So, both principles are there. Therefore, it depends upon an individual preacher. And of course, if you are blunt and offensive, outrightly criticizing demigod worshippers and not, you know, throwing their food here and there. People have done like that. Taking, you know, the words as the principles and offend people. So if you use the trick, whole thing of devotional service, a devotee's life involves that he does not offend any living entity. If you try to make people minimize and think that you are superior, that is not preaching of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, Gopinath always says that, that operation is successful but the patient is dead. What is the use? So therefore, this is a very, since so many years this question is there. And it is not, again all counts, Prabhupada says, what to speak of demigod Prasad? When you are sending somebody to Russia, I think Upendra Prabhu, you are supposed to go to Japan or Australia or Russia somewhere. He said, there is nothing to eat. Prabhupada said, eat meat and preach. Now eating meat is much abominable than eating demigod Prasad. Is much abominable. And what to speak of that? Prabhupada said, when I go to America, I'll open a restaurant. When I was in India, I was thinking like that. I'll open a restaurant. And because these Americans, they like beef, I'll serve them beef. You can imagine, I'll serve them beef. And then, when they come to my restaurant, I'll preach them. And when they start hearing Krishna Katha, they'll give up their beef. Man is a pure devotee of the Lord, one who can take that risk. We are not on that level. So there has to be a balance. We can follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was rolling BDs for the construction workers. Now he said, let them work, because I can't construct the temple, but I can roll the BDs. He would roll the BDs for the construction workers. When the governor of Bengal was supposed to come to Mayapur, he called some special Muslim chef, they would cook beef. Because the governor, he may be a governor, but he was beastly. Every day he wanted beef. Only on bad ground he was willing to come. And because an institution has to be established as authentic Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to call a governor. But when he came, just by meeting governor, by meeting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by hearing him, he said, I will eat prasad only. He took only Krishna prasad. So, every time when a devotee is sincere, Krishna allows him not to compromise. When we become loose and weak, then we start compromising. Everything is okay. Demigod prasad is also okay, and then pav bhaji from the road is also okay. Everything is okay. So then, therefore, just to become serious that how important it is to follow principles, sometimes the acharyas give this strict principle. But that doesn't mean that, as a preacher, we have a role to play, you know, how to apply that principle at what time. But the principle is there. Rupa Goswami has given that principle, that a demigod prasad is contaminated, because it has been offered with a materialistic mind. Again, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his strictness was much higher. What to speak of demigod prasad? Even he would not accept prasad offered by a devotee if his standards were not so high. He said, I don't think that your food has been accepted by God. He said, you are calling it prasad, I don't think it is a prasad. He would not eat. And Prabhupada writes in Nature of Instruction, again, it may appear to be a contradiction. Here, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is saying, food offered by a devotee who is not with a high standard, he would not accept. But Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, if you have a desire to eat nice food, if you develop desire to eat nice food, then you can cook it, offer it to Krishna, and enjoy it as a prasad. So there are different standards for different level of people. The standard of Madhendra Puri was, what was his standard? He just thought, if I can get the prasad of sweet rice of Kirchar of Gopinath, then I can cook for the Lord. Then he felt, my God, what did I do? He was thinking not bhoga prasad, but still he thought that I made a big offense. He walked out of the temple feeling, you know, repentant, and then Lord, seeing his heart, he stole kheer. Already offered to him, but still he stole it. And through Pujari sent it. So different standards are there for different people. So it depends upon every individual devotee, depending upon what is his intention, is he compromising, is he too orthodox, is he wanting to show that I am so strict and disciplined. Therefore, there are some professionals, Bhagavad speakers, or Anand Vrindavan can tell, they carry Ganges water even if they have to give lecture in America. They'll only drink Ganga water, they'll only take bath in Ganga water. They think that this is the standard, we are maintaining the purity. But what they do, they charge money. They're taking bath in Ganga water, but they're taking all the contaminated money from people. One time, one person came to Radhanand Maharaj, he gave some money. He said, you take this money. As Prabhupada said, I'll grab money if persons, if they're not willing to give, but there is a facility that they might be thinking to give, I will grab. But this person gave the money. Immediately Maharaj called Shyamala Prabhu, said, take this money. He said, it should not stay more than 5 minutes in my room. He said, I'll get contaminated. I was there. Shyamala Prabhu came and told, immediately. He said, take this money, immediately take it out and use every penny of this in Krishna service exclusively. So even one is practicing so strictly, depending upon who is giving money, it is not that every money everybody who is giving is pure. One time Gopal Krishna Maharaj, somebody gave money, but the person was not working in a proper job. He said the same thing. He said, I don't want this money because your job is not so good. I don't have the power to doubt it in Krishna service. My level is this much. Therefore we have seen, sometimes people, they take money from the person